Good evening, and thank you for listening to the You Need to Know program. My name is Deb, the general manager here at Worship Radio Network. Today, we're going to have a fun time. I'd like to welcome Mike Whitney.
Thank you very much.
And Mike Whitney.
Yes, both of them are Mike Whitney, which is very unusual to have two Mike Whitneys in the studio at once. But this is going to be something that you as a family will want to hear, and maybe they'll talk to you about a conference coming up. So I'm going to turn it over to Mike Whitney, whichever Mike Whitney is going to speak, and we're going to see what happens.
Okay, thank you, Deb. And I'm Mike D. Whitney. I'm a little lower on the scale. I'm with Mike A. Whitney.
Yes.
Yeah, somebody told me that once, and I haven't let Mike forget it ever since. Mm-hmm. Mike, thanks for joining us.
Oh, it's great to be here. It's great to be here, Mike. Thank you for inviting me.
We're going to be talking about a couple of things. We're going to be talking about our family conference coming up on February 8th. That's a Paraclete Discipleship Ministries family conference. Now, you may be thinking, wow, didn't that used to be a men's conference?
Mm-hmm.
It did, but it's not anymore. And we're going to talk about that in a little more detail later on. But it's going to be February 8th. It's going to be at First Baptist Church in Bath. And it starts at 8 with a breakfast, at 9 o'clock, the conference. And the speaker is none other than my friend Mike A. Whitney, who is with us this morning. Mike, I'm really looking, and I mean this, not just because you're my friend, but I've heard you speak, and I'm really looking forward to this.
Well, I am too. It's wonderful to be able to do this. And, you know, we're calling it a family conference, and we want all the men who used to come when it was a men's conference to come.
Mm.
But they can also bring their wives and sons and daughters as well. So it truly is meant to be for all people, just as the gospel of Jesus Christ is for all people.
Amen. And don't let that slide. Men, bring your families. Bring your children, your teens especially. That would be wonderful. There is a charge for the breakfast, $5 per person. But children 1 to 5 are free. And there's a minimum of $15 cost for family. So if you have 6 kids in your family, you're not going to have to pay out the nose, so to speak. It'll only cost you $15. So just want you to be aware of that.
In all the churches that put the breakfasts on, First Baptist at Bath is one of the best. It's one of the most delicious breakfasts in my book.
It really is. No slur on the other churches. They do a wonderful job, but First Baptist does a great job as well, and you're going to really enjoy that, and Mike's going to really enjoy that. He'll probably be there at 7 with his bib and his knife and his fork in his hand, if I know him. So let's move on to what we're talking about this morning. Paraclete Men's Ministries, back this past year, changed into Paraclete Discipleship Ministries because of different situations. Mike, can you tell us what happened with that?
Yeah, I think there was just a decision that actually was made by the Paraclete Executive Board to open up the work to both men and women, since really discipling involves both. And I was asked the other day whether that was as a result of coming under the Navigators, and it actually wasn't. It actually predated that.
Mm.
I've served on Mike's advisory board for a number of years, and we've always talked about it, but that was a decision that Paraclete Executive Board made, and I agree with it. It's a great decision, and you know, we do need men in leadership and involved in church ministry, but because discipleship is for all people and the gospel is for all people, we wanted to open up the work that we were doing to both male and female.
Yes, and that is true. The decision to branch out and to expand our ministry came as a result, actually, of our ministry in Malawi, which some of you may know about. Back in 2023, we had the opportunity to minister to a church in a refugee camp in Deleka, I think I'm pronouncing that right, Malawi, Africa. And because of that, the women wanted to be discipled too. And so they all joined in with the men as we ministered to them our discipleship and our self-exam spiritual growth course. And after a while of doing that, we noticed that that the women were really being blessed and the men and the families were growing in Christ. And Mike, that's we looked at that and we said, that's a good thing. That's mm-hmm. what we should be doing.
That makes sense. Totally makes sense.
So that's how it started. And then because I stepped down as the president for a period of time, and we kind of was in a transition period, wondering what was going to happen with the ministry, because nobody, the Lord didn't seem to bring somebody forward to lead the ministry. I was talking with Mike one day at our regular mentor meeting, and he said, well, what about joining the Navigators?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what what Michael D. Whitney with Paraclete had established in the Mid-Coast Maine area was so valuable, I thought, gosh, it would be wonderful to partner with Mike and do this work and just keep going and continue to advance the gospel movement work that Mike is doing with the churches, connecting them together in the Mid-Coast area. And I'm just so pleased that it's working out, that God is really continuing to do the work. So it's exciting.
He is, Mike. And it's been, as always, it has been a collaborative effort. Bert Valentin mm-hmm. is on our executive board, was on our executive board. We're all advisory board members now. And then there's Stan Allen, who is the pastor of Shiloh Chapel in Durham. Mm-hmm. He's on the advisory board, was on the executive board. Mike A. Whitney here with us this afternoon is on the board too. So putting all of our heads together, we came up with one. Well, one direction, and that was to include everybody mm-hmm. in our ministry. One of the things that we want to talk about this morning, too, is the Navigators. Mm-hmm. And why is it, well, I think it's a good fit, Paraclete Discipleship Ministry and the Navigators. Mike, what is it, and I think you do too, or we wouldn't be working together, what do you think makes that such a good fit?
Well, I think it's the common sense of the common vision of following Christ's great commission to make disciples of all nations, and that the gospel is for all people. So the idea to advance the gospel of Jesus and his kingdom is a mutual mission that both Paraclete and the Navigators had. And so the only difference is Navigators is a little bigger. We're in hundreds of countries, including the U.S., all the states. Our work involves campus work, military work, coming alongside churches to help them grow in a disciple-making culture. It involves inner-city work. It involves working with workplaces and among people who are in the workplace, neighbors. Prisons. We actually have a ministry in the U.S. Congress at the U.S. Senate. So, I think there's just a lot in common, and we can partner together well.
Well, I think we can, Mike, and mm-hmm. and I've learned a lot from you over the years, I think it's mutual, mm-hmm. and we look forward to seeing what God is going to do because of this partnership. Mm-hmm. It is a privilege for us to be able to be a part of the Navigators family, mm-hmm. and we look forward to that. So far, we have focused for the past couple of years, really, on our African ministry to the church in Malawi.
Yep.
And that is not to say we are not going to minister here in the Mid-Coast, though, does it?
No, I think it's both, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so we look forward to expanding our we did expand from the Mid-Coast to Malawi. Now we're hoping to expand from Malawi back to the Mid-Coast mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. and getting some things going here. But there's more to the Malawi ministry, too, than the church in the refugee camp in Dzeleka. We are also looking this year, Mike, if the Lord is willing, to start, these are all in refugee camps, one in Uganda and one in Kenya.
Wow, wow. Tell me more about that, Mike. You're supposed to be interviewing me, but I'm interviewing you.
It's a mix and match. Yeah. Mix and match. Well, the ministry in Malawi, the pastor, Baraka Juma, who we would love to get on here sometime in the near future, he's got a passion for the Lord, and he's got a vision for Africa, which is why we are looking to go into Uganda and Kenya, because of his connections in those two countries, Mike. We are looking to be an influence, and he's already been in contact with the churches in those two camps in Kenya and Uganda to start ministering to them the same way we did in Malawi. As you know, we don't go over there for short-term mission trips, not yet anyway, but we do it through the internet mm-hmm. and conduct classes, which brings me to something that I would like to talk about just briefly, Mike, and that is the need for filthy lucre. to put it bluntly, these ministries cost money. Mm-hmm. So these people in these refugee camps do not have any resources. I mean, zero. When Baraka was in the refugee camp, he's in the United States now and really excited about helping us here in the Mid-Coast and back in Africa as well. They had $12 between their whole family. There was him, his wife, and two children. They had $12 a month, and they ate once a day. They didn't buy anything, really, unless someone who knew about them and helped to sponsor them, which our friend Tim Veer did, that was it. Wow. And so when we minister to these folks, Mike, we have to provide everything.
Yeah, yeah, wow.
Yeah, so
that's, where do you get that money, Mike?
We get it from people who are listening to our program right now, mm-hmm. which is one of the reasons why we're on, mm-hmm. besides advertising our family conference. We appeal to people who have a vision mm-hmm. to see people come to know Christ. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing. You can't disciple somebody who doesn't know Jesus yet.
Right.
So we do that, and we also minister to those people, teach them how to become a disciple. What does it mean, Mike? Can you share a little bit about when we say to become a disciple, what are we talking about?
I love that question, Mike. Wow. The word disciple, the Greek word for it means to be a learner, to be an apprentice. And so if you're a disciple of Christ, you're an apprentice or a disciple of Christ. And in Luke 6:40, Jesus said that when a disciple is fully taught, he is like his master. Mm. And so if you're a disciple of Jesus, then what you're doing is you're on a journey to become like Christ. You're a learner of Christ, becoming like Christ. You're following Christ. You're abiding in Christ. Mm. And I would say that you're doing that according to the gospel of Christ, the gospel of grace, because we all fall and we all stand. And we need Jesus today as much as we did when we came to Jesus at first. So I would say a disciple is becoming like Christ, following Christ, abiding in Christ according to the gospel of Christ.
Mm. So we're not going to really preach this today, but I do want to ask you a question, Mike, mm-hmm. and I think this is appropriate. Like your thoughts, folks who are listening now, ask yourself, am I becoming more like Jesus?
Right.
If you want to know whether you're a disciple or a fan, mm-hmm. then ask yourself that question. Am I becoming more like Jesus? Am I less angry? Mm-hmm. Am I more tolerant mm-hmm. of people? Am I full of more grace? Mm-hmm. The fruits of the Spirit, right? The fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy.
Peace, patience.
Yeah, help me out here.
Love. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
All of that.
So all of those things, mm-hmm. we're trying to become like someone.
Mm-hmm.
we're not trying to keep rules and regulations. Mike, take a second and just explain why legalism and just kind of following the rules and sticking to the routine doesn't work. What's wrong with that picture?
Legalism tends to be performance oriented, and we all fail at times and need the grace of Jesus. And so we don't want to go over on the other side to licentiousness. There's a balance between legalism and licentiousness, and it's in the middle of grace and truth. Mm. And we were just talking about that this morning, that truth is being honest about yourself. What is actually real about yourself? And that happens in the context of grace. When you receive grace, you're more willing to be more honest. Mm. And when you're more honest in Christ, you get more grace. Mm. And so there's this, it says in John chapter 1 that the law came through Moses, that's legalism, grace and truth came through Jesus. And grace helps you to be actually who you were meant to be in Christ.
Mm. That's a good word, brother.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. Because I can't remember where. I think it's Paul who was talking about legalism and the faith walk, and that legalism cannot defeat the power of the flesh, the old nature in us.
That's right. According to Titus, it's the grace of God that trains us to say no to ungodliness. It's not legalism. It's the grace of God that trains us to say no to ungodliness.
Mm. And that is so much a part of what we do. So when we talk about discipleship here at Paraclete Discipleship Ministries and the Navigators, this is what we're talking about.
Yeah, I'll just throw in that, you know, if we do discipleship without the gospel, without the context of the gospel, we won't make disciples of Christ, we'll make Pharisees.
Mm.
We don't want to do that.
No. Flesh that out a little more, brother. How do you make a Pharisee and how do you make a disciple? What's the difference?
A Pharisee or a Pharisee kind of disciple puts a lot of faith in their own performance. Mm. Their walk with God is in the context of do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that. Whereas I think a disciple has got their eyes not on themselves and their own performance, but it's got their eyes on Jesus and his will for their lives. In the midst of their life, they rely on the gospel of Jesus Christ on a day-to-day basis. I was just telling a friend this morning that one of my heroes, Jerry Bridges, would quote, "Preach the gospel to yourself every day." And frankly, if you're experiencing the gospel of Jesus, the joy that it comes in being saved, the joy it comes in being forgiven and the grace of God, if you're enjoying the gospel, don't you think you'd be more likely to share it if you're enjoying it today?
Yes. And that brings me to another point. We're going to have a little discipleship making session here, it looks like, is the way this is going.
You got us going.
I know. We will get back to Paraclete Discipleship Ministries and the conference and stuff. But Mike, as we think about this, how is it that someone becomes if they feel like they don't have any joy, and you say, Mike, I don't have that.
Mm.
How do they get it?
Boy, that's a great question, and I think that applies to both those who are believers in Jesus and those who are not yet believers in Jesus. The same question is, where do I get my joy? Joy comes through feeling the pleasure of God and enjoying all that he's given us. I was with a bunch of Worcester Polytech students years ago, and I was trying to help them understand what evangelism is. And so I went out and I bought Häagen-Dazs ice cream treats.
Oh, I wish I was there.
I know, right? And I passed them out to everybody, and I said, okay, open up your treat and eat it, just take some time to think about how much you are enjoying that treat. And they said, okay. And then I said, okay, well, now share with each other your experience. And they did, and I said, that's evangelism. Evangelism is sharing the joy of Christ, enjoying Christ and sharing the joy.
Mm. Right, that's a good point, Mike. And Jesus didn't say go out and preach doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
He said go out and make disciples.
Yeah.
He said you will be my witnesses.
Yeah,
Yeah, what does a witness do?
Well, my favorite description of that, you would think this is choreographed, but we're just going off the cuff here. This is amazing. My favorite description of that is what the angels told the shepherds at Bethlehem. Behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which is for all the people. And that's the best description of witnessing. That's the best description of the gospel, is the gospel is news. The news is true, and the news is good. And the news is so good that it's filled with joy, and it's not just joy, it's great joy. And that good news of great joy is actually for all the people. If you're a people, the good news is for you.
I love that. And if you don't have this joy, you can. If you have come to the point in your life where you're just, they say, sick and tired of being sick and tired, and you wonder what your life is all about, you will find out what your life is all about when you meet Jesus. Because he will reveal yourself to you, the good, the bad, and the ugly. But the good news is unlike with some people, the good news is the bad doesn't faze him. He died for all of that. And he wants to infuse you with his love, joy, forgiveness, and grace.
Jesus faced every temptation that we face, yet without sin, and he understands us. He is the friend of sinners. He is the friend of those who have failed and are broken, and he is for you. He came to, basically, he who knew no sin became sin for us so that we get to become the righteousness, the very righteousness of God. That's what it says in 2 Corinthians 5:21. And so Jesus came to save us from ourselves and to give us a fresh start. And that is the news that cannot be bad.
It is great news. It's called the good news, the gospel, which means good news. And if you're broken today, you've come to the right place. The Lord has brought you to this place at this moment to hear this good news. No one is disqualified because of their sin. As a matter of fact, it's our sin that qualifies us, so to speak, for the need of the gospel and our Savior.
Well, this has been absolutely fantastic. I've been off on the side here just listening these two, I want to say banter back and forth. That might not be the word.
It's close enough.
But they really, this is awesome. And the main thing is to let you folks know about February 8th and the breakfast and the seminar. It goes from what time, Mike?
8 a.m. is the breakfast, and then the seminar, the conference, goes from 9 a.m. to noon. You're done by noon. You're on your own for lunch, so you get to make it a good day. You know, come, enjoy the breakfast, enjoy Mike speaking about God's mission for your family, then come in and just go out for lunch with your friends. Have a good time.
Sounds like a great time. Is there a phone number or a website they need to go to register?
Yes, you can call me at 207-522-7225, or you can email me at mdwhitney61@gmail.com.
Okay, that phone number is 207-522-7225, and mdwhitney61@gmail.com.
That's it right there.
Well, I memorized it fast.
Or you can go to our website, paraclete, myparaclete.org, and you can do it there.
That's awesome. Thank you, Mike. And Mike,
thank you
for coming on board and sharing about the Paraclete Discipleship Ministries.
Yeah.
We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
God bless you, folks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You too.
Thank you.
You're welcome.